Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Lord Jesus, we pray this morning for the sake of the world that you will light a fire in your church right across our nation. Father, we're living in times that our nation hasn't faced before, but you are God, you are on the throne, you are our hope, our confidence, you are all that we need, and we pray this morning here in Comox Pentecostal and right across our nation, light a fire in us that will burn so bright that our nation cannot help but know that Jesus Christ is the answer. We are confident in you this morning, Lord Jesus. We give you praise this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your comfort. We thank you for your strength. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your anointing. You dwell in each one of us. And today we look to you with great joy, with anticipation, and with a strength that is beyond our ability to understand, but it's given to us by God Himself. And so bless our time, we pray. Thank you for your presence and for being with us. Jesus, we love you. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. That's just beautiful this morning. We so appreciate you and how you lead us into the presence of God. And we are just enjoying a good morning. My microphone was off. That was my fault when I stood up the first time, so I apologize. And I'll say what I said again just to make sure you get it. We're living in interesting times, are we not? And a whole lot can change in a week. And so we are live streaming for the first time this morning. We hope that those of you who are at home are joining in with us and just enjoying the presence of God. I said to these folks, normally, after the first song, we tend to have about 2-3 minutes where we go around and shake hands and love on each other and say hello. And this morning, I forbade them. Is that the right word? I forbade them to do that. So we all just stood up and went, hi. And that's as far as we're going to go. So let me just address the situation that we are in. We sent a letter to all of those for whom we have contact information on Friday, I believe. If you did not get that letter, please email the church and we'll be happy to send it to you. I also put a rather blurry, fumbling announcement on our Facebook page yesterday. We're doing all this stuff for the first time, so I'm going to get better at this. As I said on that announcement, I think it was take 153. It's like, oh my goodness, how do they do this on TV? They look so natural, you know. And here's what it was like in our home yesterday. Hey, CPC, it's Pastor Ann here. Nice, I don't remember a thing I'm supposed to say. Click, stop. Take a breath, get a drink of water. Click. Hey, CPC, Pastor Ann here. We're so happy that you're with. Click, stop. Finally, Anton left. But, you know, we're trying. So we're live streaming for the first time this morning for the next 3 Sundays, March 22, 29, April 5. This building will not be open to the public, to you. We are taking the most strong measures that we can take in order to protect you, in order to protect Comox and the greater community, and in order to help protect our nation. And I trust that you will all understand. What our governments are saying is if you go strong now, we can help keep Canada protected. I read a letter from somebody in Italy. They posted it on social media. They said to every other nation, please, please listen to us. We didn't work fast enough. We didn't do things properly fast enough. And you see what we are doing now. And so they are asking us as Canadians and other nations to please, when you see this virus arrive in your nation, hit it hard. So we have canceled all public gatherings. We've canceled our Sunday morning services for the next 3 weeks. We've canceled all youth and children events. The office will be open. We are available to take your calls. And please call if you need us. We will be here for you. When it comes to Sunday mornings for the next 3 weeks, the musicians and myself will be here. And the sound people, and I'm going to drag Anton out whether he wants to come or not. And so basically, next Sunday morning, if you watch us on live stream, I'm going to be preaching to an empty building, and we's going to have fun. So y'all be sure to come via live stream and enjoy the Word of God and enjoy the worship with us. So let's do what we can to be wise today. We all hand sanitized, I pray, when we came in. We're sitting a meter apart, unless you're with family. If you're with family, obviously you're together all the time, so hang tight. And we're just waving and all those kinds of things. You may have noticed there was no coffee service for health. Poor lady, she's suffering this morning. But for health and safety reasons, we have advised you to bring your own coffee. Keep checking our Facebook page. Please keep checking our Facebook page. That's where we will be putting updates. And if we choose to send out another letter or something, we will. I am so impressed with our leadership team. Our leadership council here at CPC. I am so impressed with these men and women. They are doing such an excellent job making tough decisions with us in order to protect everyone involved. Can we just give them a clap, those of us who are here this morning? CPC, you have a tremendous, tremendous leadership team, and so praise God for them. Are you all with us on this? Yes. I thank you. Again, we do not panic. We're not in fear. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but wisdom, power, love, and a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And we are using that sound mind, the love, and the power that God gives us to be wise, to protect. Keep our nation in prayer. Enjoy yourselves. I said to the parents on that video yesterday, it's spring break. Have a blast. Play. Eat lots of treats. I'm sure if there's any really, really health conscious parents, they'll be going, oh, here she goes. But you got to have fun. You got to play. We're encouraging life groups to continue as you feel comfortable being together. Don't isolate. Continue to do life, but do it with wisdom. As well, in that letter, I ask that if you are willing to drive medications or groceries to drop them off at people's doors, should anything happen in this area, I think this is a time for the church to shine. I think the church can really show off right now. And not show off CPC, but show off Jesus. And so if you're willing to do that, just let us know. And should we get to a place where people are quarantined or anything like that, we're going to let the city know, hey, CPC is one of the first places that says call us. We'll send a driver. We'll pick up the groceries. We'll deliver the medications. And I think it's a great way to show God's love to our neighbors. Be in love with your neighbors. Be in love with Jesus. You know what, CPC, we're going to do this. We're going to get through this, right? Praise God. Praise God. I like the amens this morning because next week, musicians, next week, you better shout loud and clap hard, you know, because other than that, listen, when I was younger, I used to get inspired with sermons and I'd be preaching away to my bathroom mirror. I think both of our dogs got saved. I mean, I just preached at them all the time. They didn't have a chance. And so I don't have a problem preaching to an empty building for the next 3 weeks because you know what? We're here. God is here. Those of you on live stream, God is with you right now. So God bless you, and let's just move forward together. Well, I had to do some fast preparing yesterday. We were to have Pastor Mike Bedell with us this morning. And, you know, I'm happily at home celebrating. Woo-hoo, I don't have to preach this week. And the Lord said, woo-hoo, joke's on you, sister. So I had to do some really fast prepping this week. Let's be more honest. I had to do some really fast prepping yesterday. And this morning I was up early while Anton was making coffee. I was preparing slides. So I hope everything works, but I'm happy to share with you from our Acts in Action series. We are almost finished this series. In fact, next week we are going to start looking towards Easter. How many of you are excited for Easter? I am. You know, My husband says that two more important days on the Christian calendar are A, Father's Day, and B, his birthday. Now, he tried for years to get Father's Month, but we wouldn't give in. But it's all tongue-in-cheek, because Anton and our family, we just enjoy those kind of laughs. But there's a very important day coming up, a very important weekend coming up, where we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm excited for that time, because it's always a wonderful time to remind ourselves and to share with others the good news of Jesus. And Jesus is good news. So we're asking you to drop off Easter chocolates, the size that would fit into the little plastic Easter eggs that you see at the dollar store. I see some are coming already today, and thank you so much. We are, God willing, we are still going to do an Easter blast on Easter weekend. God willing. We'll keep an eye on things, but let's prepare. Let's keep preparing. Billy Graham once asked, how do you live your life? How do you live your life knowing Jesus will come any time? And he said, I plan for the future, but I live as though he could come this afternoon. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to plan for the future, and God willing, we can carry on with our plans, but we also want to be wise. So this morning, we are going into Acts in Action, and our subject this morning, as part of our family values, is called generosity. Everybody said, amen. I know, I love you guys. Generous, I'm entitling this morning a generous spirit, because generosity, when we talk about that in our communities now, people automatically think money. Now, don't worry, I'll get to that, but I am talking about a generous spirit, something that is all-encompassing. Are my slides working there, fellas? Do you want the little stick thing again? No? Yes? Jackie, would you do that, please? And I think the stick says, Generosity Changes Everything. I think that's the title. Well, here's the definition of generosity that we have said in our family values. We, meaning CPC, are committed to living a God-honoring culture of generosity, including the faithful giving of time, abilities, and finances, etc., all for His purposes and advancing His kingdom. We're committed to living a God-honoring culture of generosity. That's a big statement. I like that statement. I think a generous heart and a generous person has so much impact, whether they realize it or not. Now, listen, I've said it many Sundays because I am guilty of the same. We try our best, and there are times when we blow it. And you know, but the heart of us is to be generous and to be loving and to be a giving community. Generosity is described in the Cambridge English Dictionary as a willingness to give help or support, especially more than is usual or expected. And see, that's where I think the church can shine right now in Canada. We're ready to give help and support in this COVID-19 scare. I don't like to use that word. But we as the church are ready to give help and support more than usual and more than expected, because we have the confidence that God is in control. I love the fact that in the up to and during the 16th century, to be generous or to talk about generosity was to say you were nobility. Okay, nobody gets it. Peter says in his epistles, we are kings and priests. And the origin of the word, up to and including the 16th century, was if you were a generous person or you were known as generosity, you were in effect saying you were nobility. Is that not too cool or not? Church, we are nobility. You still don't get it. When we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He says, if you love me and obey my commands, my Father and I will come and dwell in you. You're filled with the Spirit of God. Paul says to the church in Corinthians, don't you know that your body, the church, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He then says to you as an individual, don't you know that your body, this thing, your physical body, is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Church, you are filled with the Spirit of God. There is no one or no thing more noble than Jesus Christ himself. I'm standing today preaching to the few that have joined us this morning, and to those of you on live stream, I'm preaching to nobility. Wow. Wow. That was a good try. I love that. So let's get into this whole concept of generosity. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 in the Message version says this: the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. I love that. And then in the NIV, Proverbs 11, 25 puts it this way: a generous person will prosper. Now, again, think bigger than your finances. Think bigger than what's in your pocketbook. Because we know in our nation and right around the world, there are very, very wealthy people. God bless them. And I personally have witnessed and been with people in extreme poverty. God bless them. But think about your spirit. Think about your relationships. Think about your influence in your workplace. Think about your influence in the church. Think about who you are in your community. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Isn't that a beautiful principle? I was talking to someone this morning, and I won't go into any more detail than that. And when I was talking to them, said something, and I saw this person, their face kind of lit up, and they said, thank you, you have encouraged me this morning. I didn't think much about it. I was just excited and talking to them. But you see, praise God, I was able to be an encouragement to somebody this morning. But I have to tell you, out of that, many of you have been speaking with me this morning and said, in essence, you're doing the right thing, counsel, and you are making the right decisions. Thank you. You have encouraged me this morning. You see, when you give, you receive. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Generosity is a matter of the heart, and it is a lifestyle that affects every area of your life. When speaking of generosity this morning, we want to think, as I've said, much broader than we normally do. Psalm 112, verse 5, God will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. The Apostle Paul quotes, Luke, quotes Jesus in Acts 20, verse 35, when he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Andrew Gabriel, he's a professor at the Horizon College and Seminary. He says, Christian generosity is grounded in the fact that we serve a generous God. Christian generosity is grounded in the fact that we serve a generous God. The first thing I think about when I think about generosity is I think about God himself. And here's what I want to say about that. Salvation is the extreme generosity of God. If you want to look for generosity, look at Jesus coming and dying and going down and resurrecting again. That is the extreme generosity of God. Let me give you a scripture, Ephesians 2, verse 8. If you, like me, were raised in church, you'll know it before I say it, but I'm going to read it anyway. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. None of us have earned our salvation. None of us will ever be able to pay God back for our salvation. I gave up trying years ago. I meet believers who still today are saying, if I could just, if I only, if they, if, woulda, coulda, shoulda, will kill you. I struggled in my younger years with perfectionism. And here's what perfectionism does to you. You set the bar for yourself. And you climb towards it, and you get that close, and you think, oh, that's ridiculous. That's not enough. So you set it higher. And you climb, and you get, that's not enough. That's ridiculous. You set it higher. Do you see what's happening? You never meet your own expectations. And it's a serious thing, and many people struggle with it. We're taught in school to try our best, yes. But what we're not taught is when you've done your best, it's enough. And so our culture has trained my generation, I won't say for the Generation Z that we heard so much about last week, and thank you again, Pastor Trevor. I was sharing that information with somebody this week in Ladysmith who said, oh man, that's so good, I've always wanted to have an understanding. So if you didn't see Pastor Trevor last week, please watch him on our site. But my generation was trained to always be better, to always be perfect. And we suffered for it. And we have to understand right from the heart of God that He knew us when we were imperfect. He knew us in our sin and degradation. And He said, I love you enough that I'm going to give you an extreme example of my generosity, and I'm going to send Jesus to die for you. And Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, by grace you've been saved through faith, and that faith isn't even from yourself. That and salvation is the gift of God. And God Himself says, you don't need to be perfect. I know you just the way you are. And so it breaks my heart, to be honest, when I find saints who are redeemed and made whole in Christ Jesus, still striving to prove to God that they're good enough. Can I release you in love this morning? Do your best and know that God knows. You see, remember that we belong to God. Remember that we have a God awareness. Remember that we are the imago Dei. We are built and made in the image of God. See, when people see you, as they do when they have seen me over the years, or Anton or anybody, you're a child, and you look at a child and you say, oh my goodness, you're just like your, you know, father, your mother. Anton and I look at our little grandchildren, and we look at each one and we go, he is just like that parent. He is just like that parent. The Donkers men don't know how to make girls, so we're all he's. He is just like that parent. When I was young, people would say to me, you are your father's double. Yes. But as I have grown, hopefully matured, and I go back to Ontario and meet some of my parents' friends, oh my goodness, your mother will never die while you're alive. We are the image of our parents, aren't we? We're the image of where we came from. In the same way, we are the image of God. See, I can tell a person's relationship to God by their spirit of generosity. Somebody who knows Jesus and loves Jesus, they'll struggle with things in life. They may even struggle financially, but their spirit is generous. And to be honest, that's how I see Jesus in people many times. Well, on our website, this is what we see. You ready? The purpose of CPC. We are, and I quote, in the valley, for the valley. Do you remember that? We are in the valley, for the valley. I like that because it takes us outside of these walls. And next it says, hopefully, people can recognize the way Christians love each other. Because the love of Jesus is different than what is experienced in the world. Now, here we go. At Comox Pentecostal Church, we want you to experience the meaningful relationships that build a strong community, helping you grow in your love for Jesus and each other. That is what Comox Pentecostal Church is presenting to the world. We're in the valley, for the valley. We want you to experience love. We want you to experience all of life as you grow together. We're talking about a generous spirit. We're talking about an open heart that will go to all the world with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be aware of this, church. When you go home this afternoon, what's your heart? Is your heart to huddle? I hope not. But is your heart to engage and to love? That's a generous spirit. Well, let's look at the principle of generosity. Not bad for ripping through yesterday, hey? Come on, come on, come on, come on. You know my sense of humor. I'm looking for a generous response this morning. I'm just saying, I'm trying. Nah, come on, you guys, we always have fun on a Sunday morning. Wouldn't it be awful if we were serious every Sunday morning? Wouldn't it be awful? I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And so this morning, I want to deal on the spirit of generosity. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And now we will hand out the offering bags. Praise God. Speaking of which, when we're not here for the next... When we're not here for the next 3 weeks, please remember to send your tithes and offerings online. It still costs money to keep us going. All right, the sowing and reaping principle. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 11. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give as he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And this next verse really grabbed me yesterday. And God is able to make all things abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Isn't that an incredible verse? How many times have I read that in my lifetime, but it hit me yesterday. God is able to make all things abound to you, church, so that in all things, with everything that you need, God has you ready and prepared to abound in every good work. It didn't say to abound in your finances, although I believe there's an abundance there for you as well, but to abound in every good work. I think that's incredible. God has called us to good works, and he says, don't worry, little flock. I've got you covered. I'm giving you everything you need. Wow. I love that. Next week, musicians, you're going to have to say hallelujah a whole lot because, you know, but I'm amen, 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 amen. God has given us everything we need to abound in every good work. See, I find out that when we take it on ourselves, that's when we blow it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever tried to do something? Listen, I've said to you before, if God would just listen to me, I could tell him what the best solution is. Right? And we go around with the best. Now, Lord, I've decided what the solution is, and this is what I am going to do. Please bless me. And God says, I'll wait until you come back. I tried hard, and you didn't do a thing. And where were you when I needed you? He said, that wasn't my idea. That was your idea. See, God places within us everything we need to abound in every good work. Well, let's keep, I just touched my face. Anybody notice when you're told you can't touch your face? That it gets itchy, and the first thing you want to do is touch your face. Have you noticed that? Somebody tie our hands behind our backs. That's it. That's it. Do this. It is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The context of that scripture was Paul was taking up an offering from the Gentile churches to take it back to Jerusalem because the church in Jerusalem was under persecution. But the context of that scripture can also be taken in a much greater way. David Hazard, one of our officers at our national office in Toronto, says this, generosity frees us from the ever-present temptation to live primarily for ourselves. I say it this way, what you sow, you reap, or what you plant, you get. I'm going to tell you a story. Barry, and it's not his real name, in 2014, this is when I read this story, he was 67 years old. He was in business for 40 years. He was a very successful businessman, but he was still working. And the question was put to him, why? Because our culture says at 65 or whatever age, retire, you earned it, you deserve it, it's your time. But Barry was 67 and still working. He said, Barry said this, I get to give. My goal is to one day make enough money to give away $1 million a year to the kingdom. Wow. That's a generous spirit. Wow. As you folks know, CLA was our home church for many years. And every Sunday, people came to Jesus. There wasn't a Sunday we were there, I don't think, that people didn't come to Jesus. Now, I believe in the concept of giving finances and tithing. We always have. But I used to love to give there in particular because I knew what we were sowing into that church was being used to bring people to Jesus. See, here's the thing that I think. Your generous spirit and your influence, you may not see the fruit today, but when you reach heaven, I think you're going to be surprised at how many people you influenced who came to Jesus. Scripture says one sows, one waters, one harvests. I'd like to be the one who does the harvesting all the time. But to be honest, I find in my life most of the time I'm doing the sowing, and hopefully I'm doing the watering. But I think someday when I get to heaven and I see my father, I'm going to say, Dad, I'm so happy to be here. I brought a few of my friends with me. And not because I prayed the sinner's prayer with everybody, and not because I had billions of dollars to put into the kingdom, but because of a generous spirit, I'm looking forward to turning around and not being able to see the end of the line, so to speak. See, a generous spirit has an eternity mindset. And this fella, Barry, had an eternity mindset, and in his case, he had the finances to do it. But a generous spirit has an eternity mindset. What we have isn't our own. It belongs to God. See, I think God is reaping what he sowed. He sowed Jesus. Can I put it that way? And today, and every day, hundreds of thousands and millions are coming into the kingdom. God is displaying the principle himself. I'm gonna speed this up just a little bit. I don't know how long I've been up here and you've been having to sit and listen to me. I want to give you another scripture concerning generosity. It's Luke 6, 37 and 38. And it's an interesting scripture when I looked at it again yesterday. It's an interesting scripture and it says this, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. We understand that. And let me speak into that. I've done it. We've all done it. Oh, good grief. We've seen somebody or something's happened. Oh, for Pete's sake. And it comes out of our mouths before we understand we've even done it. But God says, you know, let's keep our hearts right. And then he goes on and says this, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over will be not just lightly put on you, it'll be poured into your lap. Okay, I'm ready for the pouring. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You see, this is a principle in life. It's a principle in our heart. It's a principle in our attitudes. It's a principle in our relationships. It's a principle in our finances. Generosity is an overwhelming, all-encompassing attitude and spirit that comes from the very heart of God himself. And so I have to ask myself, and I encourage you to ask yourself, are you giving blessing or cursing? Are you giving encouragement or criticism? Are we giving light or darkness? What are we giving? Are we giving love or lack of love? And let me encourage you as parents. Listen, little ones are very, very open to what mommy and daddy are saying to them. And our culture will speak many things into their lives. But if you're a parent, especially with little ones, you speak encouragement into their lives. You speak love into their lives. Yes, discipline comes. It's part of growing up. But discipline in love. You tell your children often what a gift they are from God. You tell your children often how proud you are of them. Tell your children often that they are the best thing that ever happened to you. When our boys were little, I used to say to them, you know what? Mommy and Daddy don't even deserve you. God gave us the best gift we could ever imagine. And we love you so much. And when you grow up, I already know you're going to be very fine men of God. And Mommy and Daddy will be very, very proud of you then, just like we are now. Will you give me a second to brag? God has been good to us. Today we have three of the finest men that I could ever have imagined. They are husbands, fathers, and they love the Lord with all their heart. And I am proud beyond measure of our sons. Speak life to your children. Speak life to your children. Well, a generous spirit shows in your heart, shows in your attitudes, shows in your relationships. And here we go, it also shows in your pocketbook. Are you ready? Are you excited? Yes. I'm not going to put these scriptures up, but I'm just going to tell you about the story of the woman with the two mites, Luke 21, if you want to read it. A mite at that point in time was the smallest copper or bronze coin that they had. It was worth half a penny. And see, if you remember the story, Jesus was watching people put money into the offering plate. Well, he shouldn't be doing that, should he? Well, he did it that day on many levels. I'm sure he hasn't told me all the levels by any means. But when I read the story, I think it just emphasizes to us the value of everything we have belongs to the Lord. And so people were coming in and placing their offering. And, you know, it's not that the Lord wasn't pleased with it. He was. But this little lady came in, and Jesus knew this was the last that she had. And she took her two little mites, and she put them in the plate. That was an offering of worship, trust, faith, and generosity. See, we don't know. Maybe she was hungry that night. But her love for God was bigger than her need. And while Scripture doesn't tell us, I'm very sure that God met her need. Our giving of our finances is an act of worship and an act of gratitude. It's an overflow of the abundance of God's goodness to us, because the Lord owns everything that we have. The heart of generosity involves everything. I want you to think about the woman who poured oil on Jesus' head, Mark 14, 3 to 5. I'll read it for you. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of a very expensive perfume made of pure nard. I looked this up. It's oil made from a spikenard plant. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. But you see, out of the abundance of God's grace and her love, this is the most precious thing that she had to give. And so she took it and she poured it on his feet. Her heart of gratitude and her heart of generosity overflowed literally in oil that she poured on his feet. When the world misuses us, when things go wrong in our lives, it is the heart of gratitude that we go back to, and we pour our love onto Jesus and allow him to minister to our situations. Proverbs 3, verse 9 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine." I'm going to give you one last scripture, and then we're going to stand and pray together. Those of you who are live streaming this morning, if you're enjoying your coffee, you can remain seated. But the rest of us are going to stand. Next week, when you're live streaming and I say, "Would you stand with me?" you can all have a chuckle because I'm talking to empty chairs. So just plan to enjoy yourselves. This scripture really hit me yesterday. And I think it's so appropriate in the season that we are in our nation. It's 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 19. It says, "Command those who are rich." And in brackets in italics, I put Canada. And I just want to speak to this for a minute. Canada, compared to many other nations, is a very rich nation. We have everything that we need. It's been interesting to watch the news this week and see people be shocked at empty shelves. Hasn't it been interesting? Can somebody tell me, what is the deal with toilet paper? I don't get it. It's all right. But it's been interesting to watch people go into stores and see empty shelves, right? We're shocked because we're a rich nation. We're used to our shelves being full. And so Canada, we're a rich nation. So this scripture says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Has anybody been watching the markets this week? Up high? Plummet? Up? Plummet. What's it saying? Our wealth is uncertain. Right? But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. That's a word for the church right now. Amen. Come on, church. We're going to shine through this. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Would you stand with me, please? I think you've been sitting long enough. We're ending a little earlier this morning. Hey, how about that? We didn't have any announcements to give. We were to do Mission Sunday this morning. We will catch up on that. But I think that is our scripture, church. I think that's our scripture. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and be generous and willing to share. In this way, we're laying up treasures for ourselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that we may take hold of the life that is truly life. God is so good. I commend you and I bless you and I thank you for being with us this morning. You know what? We're in for an exciting time in the Lord. Yeah, but Anne, it's scary out there. Yeah, but it's not scary in here. Yes? Right. Let's be wise. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have given to each one of us here a generous spirit. And we pray, Lord, that this generous spirit will just overflow all of us more and more and more. Fill us with that spirit of generosity, Lord Jesus. And open our eyes in faith and wisdom to see how we, as the folks in Comox Pentecostal, can influence our community through this difficult time. Father, open our eyes to be givers and not takers. Open our eyes to be lovers, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord Jesus, the protection of the blood over all of our Comox family. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will guard and keep us. We pray for our nation this morning. We thank you, Lord, for Canada. We love our nation. And Canada, in prayer, we stand on guard for thee. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, protect this wonderful nation, we pray. We're known as peacekeepers and givers. May we excel at what we are known for in these precarious times. We pray for our prime minister and his wife. We pray healing complete for her, for wisdom for him and the cabinet. We pray for opposition parties who are working together. We thank you, Lord, that this season is bringing all of our politicians together. Cover them, keep them, bless them, we pray, protect them. We pray for everyone in this nation. And we pray especially, Father, that they will see the spirit of generosity in your people and they will come to Jesus. Father, we pray for Italy and other nations that are suffering. You are Lord. You've got, as we used to sing, the whole world in your hand. And so we ask, Lord Jesus, that you will bring the whole world to yourself. And many will see the love of God in these days. Now, Father, bless and keep these wonderful people as I commit them to you. And we go into our neighborhoods. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 The worship team, do you want to lead us in one last song? Let's not. We're calling it a day. Have fun. Bless you. We love you.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.